If you would, take your Bibles, turn with me, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. If you're following along in the Bible that you find there in the chair, you should find that on page 830. What I want to do this morning is I want to kind of pick up with where we left off last week, and we're in the middle of this section where the Apostle Paul is talking about spiritual warfare. It's one of those things that we don't spend a lot of time talking about, but it's a critical part of the spiritual life. And so listen as I read from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Paul writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Week. And over in the book of 2 Corinthians, he talks about that in a little different light. And he gives us some insight into what's going on. He says this, he says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world." And so he gives us that insight. He gives us that direct quote. He gives us that verse that says to us, listen, we're in the middle of a battle. We are in the middle of a war. And if you think we're overstating that, just think with me for a few moments about some of the different ways in which he references that in the book, in the entire New Testament. First thing that he says Jesus does when he's talking to us is this. He says that we're in the middle of a war that is not of this world. There's something different than just this world in which we look at. It's not this physical confrontation, but it is a spiritual conflict that we are engaged in. And he says the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world, that we're in a fight for the faith. We're in a fight for this understanding of who God is and what God wants to do in this world. And it requires, because it's not a battle of this world, it requires the power of God. We're not going to win the spiritual battle, Paul. engaged in this physical and spiritual conflict for the souls of the world around us. Once we have a relationship with Him, once we are in relationship with the Father, once our sin is forgiven, once we have reestablished what it means to be His child, He's not finished with us then. He then wants to use us to bring other people into relationship with Himself as well. And so He uses this image. He uses this, and that's a piece that speaks to us about the practical application. We need to take responsibility for using these things that God has made available to us. He says we need to stand. We need to take personal action. We need to prepare ourselves, and we need to get ready so that when the battle comes, we're not overwhelmed by it. And then the piece that we're going to look at this morning, the one I want to kind of unpack with you a little bit more along the way, is what he talks about here when he says that we are to take up these different pieces of armor. Pick up with me around verse 16, if you will. Paul says to us this. He says, in addition to all this, in addition to the three things that we talked about last week, which was the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and shoes, our feet shod with the gospel of peace. He says, in addition to those things, now look, this is where this idea of taking up. He says, take up three different pieces. Take up the shield of faith. Take up the helmet of salvation. Take up the sword of the Spirit. Now, what is he talking about here? It's a direct command. You do this. You see, it's one thing to have the armor piled up over there in the corner. But if you don't go over there, pick it up, and put it on, it doesn't do you any good whatsoever. You know, it's kind of like what happens with most of the tools that I have out in my garage. It doesn't matter that something is broken in the house, and it doesn't matter that I have the tools to fix it. As long as I sit on the couch with the TV remote, nothing gets repaired. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. A couple of you guys are like, oh, ouch, sweetheart, don't hit me. So it's got a sharp elbow. You know, it doesn't matter if you have the tools out in the garage. It doesn't matter if stuff is broken. If you don't get up, get the tools, bring them in the house, and use them. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. He's saying, listen, God has given you a shield of faith. Go get it. He said, God has given you a helmet of salvation. Put it on. God has given you a sword of the Spirit. Prepare to use it on a regular basis. Just because it is available doesn't mean that you have appropriated it. Doesn't mean that you are using it. It just means that it's over there in the corner, ready to be used. And so when the Apostle Paul says this, he says, in addition to all of this, you take up the shield of faith. Because there's some arrows coming your way. And you better be ready. He said, and you take the helmet of salvation. Because there's some lies that are going to be whispered in your ear. And you better be ready. And he says, you pick up, take up, it's the same word, the sword of the Spirit. Because you're engaged in a spiritual battle. And if you think you're going to win a spiritual battle with physical weapons, then you have deluded yourself. And you're going to lose the day. So let's talk about those along the way. And as we did last week, every single piece that we talk about, I'm going to give you some direct application. I'm going to tell you how to take it up. I'm going to tell you how to go out in the garage and get the tools. Does that make sense? Because it's one thing to say, hey, Paul, there's some tools out in the garage. Just be aware that the dishwasher needs to be fixed. And you're like, okay, as soon as this show is over. I think, you know, the show never gets over, does it? The Redskins. No, it's the Dallas Cowboys, brother. It's the Dallas Cowboys. So, Paul says this. He says, take up the shield of faith. Take up the shield of faith. Now, there's two different words for shield that Paul could have chosen. And you've seen images of them. You've seen pictures of them. One of them is the small little round shield, kind of a shield that you use for sword fighting. You know, it's like so big like this. That's not the word that he picked. It's not the shield that he is talking about. The shield of faith that the Apostle Paul is talking about is a lot bigger than that one. It's probably about 2 feet wide. It's about 4 feet tall. It's made with a couple of different layers of either wood covered with leather and studded with metal of some kind, or sometimes it's a couple different layers of boiled leather manufactured and put together, different ways of making it. But this shield that he is talking about is not the small little tiny one. It's a big shield, as you can put your entire body behind, and you can kind of get down behind and protect yourself. And not only that, but one of the things that was very, very important about this particular shield that the Roman soldiers used is that they were designed and they were created, they were made so that they would interlock one with the other. So while it was a piece of defensive equipment for you individually, when you and the team that you were with, you the squad that you were with, you the unit that you were with were together, they had designed a whole series of defensive and offensive maneuvers that were built around how they used that shield. You've probably seen either Ben-Hur or some of the other different movies on TV where the soldiers, when the Roman army were together, they would lock their shields together and they would present this unified front so that when the attack came, when the arrows were loosed, they would be able to get down behind them and they would be able to protect themselves. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. That we are created, we are designed for community. Faith, the way that the Apostle Paul talks about it here, this shield of faith, while it is individual, it is not uniquely individual. It is also designed for community. We are, in fact, to use that tagline that we've been using with our church merger, we are better together. And that's what Paul is saying to us. He says, when the battle comes, you need to get ready. You're gonna have to have this faith. Now, the faith that he's talking about could go one of two ways. It could be what we call saving faith. Faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That confidence and that assurance that we have a relationship with the Father. I don't think that's primarily what he's talking about here, though it is possible that he's talking about making sure that you have your sin forgiven. Making sure that the barrier that we have between our heart and the heart of God has been removed because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And Paul said to, or John said to us over in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, he said, "These things I have written to you, that you might know that you have eternal life." And you see, when you know, when your faith is strong and your faith is secure and your faith is settled, when you know you have a relationship with the Father, it doesn't matter what comes your way in the battle. It doesn't matter what arrows he shoots. It doesn't matter what problems you have. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. When your faith is strong and secure, then you are able to stand settled against the attack. But that's probably just a small portion of the faith that he's talking about here. What he's talking about is what I want to call living faith. That stuff that we need every single day sometimes to get through the day. It's one thing to have my relationship with the Father settled and at peace and my feet firmly planted. But I think it was Spurgeon that said this: the problem is that I don't have faith in my bucket. The problem is that my bucket leaks. Right? You know, you get up in the morning and you do your devotions, you read the Bible, you pray, you go through all the things. You are ready for the day. And then by the time you get to lunch, you feel like there have been, you know, a Roman army that has marched over your life. And there is just nothing left. That faith that we need to withstand the attacks that come our way every single day. That living faith. We know that we know Him. We know that our sin is forgiven. We know that we are in relationship with Him. That's not the part that's at risk for us. That part that's at risk for us is, how am I going to get through the day to day with this problem that is right here in front of me? This problem that seems so much larger than I am. I'm going to call that living faith, in which we need to lean on Him It's that faith that Paul talks about over there in Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. You know, we hear that verse that says, God loves me, God cares for me, that there's nothing going to come my way that's going to remove me from His love. But boy, it doesn't feel that way in the middle of the battle. We hear that verse that says to us, you know, my faith is sufficient. You're made strong in weakness, and all we feel is weakness. We don't feel any of the strength. You know, we can quote the verses. We know what they say. But the ability to plant our heart in them and be ministered to them, ministered to by them, and know that we have the strength that we're going to need to get through where we are. So the Apostle Paul is talking to us here about having the shield of faith. Now, what do you do when you feel like the disciples, when they came to Jesus one day and they said to Him, you know, Lord, we believe. Would you help our unbelief? We hear you. We know what you're saying. We agree with it. We believe, but we're shaking a little bit here. Our knees are a little bit weak. We're beginning to wonder. We're beginning to doubt. We're starting to fear. Lord, I believe. Would you help my unbelief? I don't know if you've ever prayed that prayer, but some days we pray that 100 times in the course of a day because we need His strength over and over and over again. What do you do when your faith begins to falter? What do you do when your strength begins to wane? What do you do when you feel like you don't have what it takes to take one more step? You know Him. You know Him. You know where you're going when you get to heaven. You know where you're going when you leave this life. It's just, well, how am I going to get from here to there today? Here's what the Bible says to us. It says, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the Word of Christ. When the shield begins to come down, when the faith begins to weaken, when your knees begin to shake a little bit and your heart begins to doubt, you go back to the Word. Because that is what strengthens your faith. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message of God's love, the message of God's grace, the message of God's help, the message of God's strength. It's that message that the Apostle Paul heard when he said, 3 times I prayed for this to be taken away from me. And the Lord said, my strength is increased in weakness. You go back to the message. You go back to Him. The other thing that you do is you lock shields with someone else. One of the things that I say to people sometimes when they're in my office and we look together at God's Word and they're struggling and there's an issue and that is just bigger than they are at that moment and they just don't know how they're going to do it. They look at me and they go, Pastor, I just don't think I have enough faith to believe that. You know what I say to them? That's okay. You lean on me. I've got enough faith for both of us today. It'll be okay. Have you got some people like that in your life? Some people that you can lean into? Some people whose faith is strong when yours is weak? When your shield begins to drop a little bit, when it begins to falter, when you begin to question, when you begin to doubt, when you look at the Father and you go, God, I just don't think I can do this. You got some people in your life that will help you get from where you are to where He wants you to be? Let me tell you, that's what a group is about. That's what an adult Bible study group is about. That's what a prayer group is about. That's what a small group is about. You know, just this week, I told you a couple of weeks ago about the prayer group that I have, the support group that I have, the group of men that I have, the discipleship group. And just this week, there were 2 major issues that came up. For some people in their family, one of them in the hospital, my phone started dinging. The bell went off. And somebody sent out a prayer request. One of the men did. And the response came back over and over and over and over and over again just in moments. You know what they were doing? Those men were locking shields. They were coming up alongside and they were going, look, I know that you're feeling a little weak right now. One on one side, one on the other, one behind you. It's going to be fine. Holding you up, praying for you, praying with you. You're not alone in the middle of this battle. Oh, if you don't have that, you need that. You need that. You've got to have it. You're not going to make it. That's why Paul says, take up the shield of faith. Yes, knowing him is important, that saving faith. But that living faith, the faith that is made strong in weakness, you've got to have that as well. That comes from the Word of God, planted, rooted in your heart. And for men and women who will stand with you, pray with you, walk with you, be there with you in the battle. Paul says, take it up. We can make the groups, the prayer groups, the study groups, the discipleship groups, the small groups, we can make them available to you. There's a whole list of them out there in the foyer. I can't go to your house, open your door, grab you by the hand, put you in the car, and drag you down the road and make you go to the group. There's a couple of you I want to do that with. You need some help. Just like me, you need some people in your life that are going to stand with you. And you're like, well, I don't feel strong. I don't have the strength. I can't do this. No, you can't. You can't. You got to have some other people in your life who will walk with you. And Paul says, you have to make that decision. So pick up the shield of faith. The second thing that he says is pick up, appropriate the helmet of salvation. This is where the personal action and responsibility also come into play. This is God offering us the confidence that we know him. That 1 John chapter 5 verse 13 verse that he has written to us that we might know, settled in our heart. You know, one of the things that we have got to do is we have got to protect our mind, because that's where one of the first spiritual attacks comes. It is on the attack of the mind. You see that in the garden. You know what? You would think, just pause here for a moment and just think. If God has given us insight into where the very first and greatest fall of mankind came, wouldn't you think you wanted to pay really close attention to that and learn how to protect yourself against that kind of attack? Because that's what you get when you're in Genesis and you get to see what happened with Eve as Satan came to her and began to tempt her and cause her to doubt what God was doing. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, here's what the Apostle Paul wrote over there, he said, just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, I'm praying that you will protect your mind, he says, so that you won't be deceived the way that she was. When he's talking about the helmet of salvation, what he's saying to us is, listen, you need to get ready for the fact that Satan is going to do with you exactly what he did with Eve. He's going to slide up right beside you and he's going to say, now, Barry, did he really say you're supposed to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? I mean, isn't it okay if you just do it halfway in this particular instance? You know, because everybody else, they don't love him with all their heart. They're just a bunch of hypocrites anyway. So, you know, it's okay if you don't love him that way. It'll be fine, okay? Don't worry about it. Just you and me, we'll be okay here. Is that fine? Okay. Don't you worry about it. It'll be fine. You ever hear that little voice? He will slide right up beside you, and he will whisper in your ear, and he will tell you something that is not true. He will whisper a half lie in your ear, and he says it so well and so cunning and so sly that you begin to believe it, don't you? It'll be okay. I'm one of my best friends in the world, best counselor I have ever worked with. And I've known him for probably 10 or 15 years now. He said to me, he said, Dennis, here's what happens. Here's the way the devil works in your life. He said, he slides right up beside you and he whispers a half-truth in your ear. And you start to believe it. And you begin to live on that. He doesn't give you a whole lie, because you won't swallow a whole lie. He just gives you a half-truth. And you begin to live on that half-truth, just like it is the truth of the Word of God. And then, when the trouble comes and the wheels fall off, you look and you go, God, what happened? And you realize, you've been living a lie all along. Because he came right up beside you and he began to whisper in your ear, did God really say that? Did he really mean that? Don't you think he's holding something good back from you? Don't you think that he's not giving you the very best? Don't you think that there's a better way to go about doing this than the way God said? Can you really, really trust him? Paul says, you better pick up the helmet of salvation. And you better protect yourself. You've got to continue to grow in your spiritual life, because that's what salvation is. Salvation is not just what happened there in the past. It's not just what happened that day that you got on your knees and you said, Father, forgive me for my sin. Will you let Jesus come live in my heart and give me the hope of eternity? That's not just salvation. Salvation isn't just what happened then. It's also how he saves us every single day when we reach out to him and we call out to him. Peter says it this way. He says, but keep on growing in the grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You have to be developing the knowledge of Christ. You have to be growing in your relationship with him, constantly growing in your faith. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 says this. It says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature. Look at this. Who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Who have handled the Word of God so regularly, so consistently, that you can recognize the half-truth when he whispers it in your ear. Did God really say? Yes, he did. Or no, he did not. But when you're standing there in the middle of the battle, I don't know is a formula for defeat. Does that make sense? I don't know doesn't help very much. And at that point, we don't usually have the opportunity or the time to phone a friend and get the answer. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. See, you gotta have it. You gotta have that helmet of salvation, not just what happened back then, but what he wants to do in your life right now. We have to pick up the helmet of salvation. We have to appropriate it. We have to be ready. We have to be equipped. We have to be prepared. And I'm going to go back to the same place. That's what that study group is about. That's what that Bible study is about. That's what that small group is about. That's what the discipleship group is about. The group that I'm in right now, the one that I'm working with, it's got a series of four different books. Book number 3, you know what we're working on right now? Ephesians, spiritual warfare. getting ready for the battle. Because we need to know what God has said so that we might not sin against Him. And finally, He says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Beautiful image here. It says, you know, a material sword is designed to pierce the body. The sword of the Spirit, look at this, pierces the heart. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Again, I want to go back to, it's not rocket science. It's pretty simple. If God has given us insight, take a look at this. If God has given us insight into temptation, we saw what happened with Eve when she did not know, when she didn't pay attention, when she had not taken to heart what God had said. Satan slides up beside her and he says, did God really say? And she's like, I don't know. Now you fast forward, you go over to Luke, you go to Jesus when he begins his public ministry. He's led by the Spirit out into the wilderness. Satan does exactly, look at it, go back and read it. He does exactly the same thing. Slides up beside him, begins to whisper in his ear, and he begins to question what God has said. But the difference between what happened with Eve and what happened with Jesus was Jesus knew how to respond. He took the Scripture and he applied it, boom, directly. Three different times. And protected his heart, his life, his ministry, and the calling of God. Look at what the Scripture says. It says, the sword of the Spirit is alive, spiritually living. Jesus wrote it and said to us this way, the words that I have spoken, John 6:33, the words that I have spoken are spirit and they are life. It's not just empty words. It's not just black ink on a white page. It's the living Word of God that gives us spiritual life. It's living. It's active. It means it's spiritually impactful. It's effectual. It's powerful, the word means. It penetrates. It cuts away that which isn't true. When you know it, when you read it, it speaks with truth. I've watched it a couple of times. I've been in a couple of different very, very difficult and tense situations when I'm having conversations with people. Maybe it's in a counseling session or whatever. And I've watched people argue and discuss and talk and back and forth, back and forth. And then someone who is wise, they don't argue. They don't discuss. You know what they do? They will just read without comment or commentary or quote a Bible verse. And that word will cut and divide and bring light and understanding. And all the discussion ends and the conclusion is reached because the word speaks so powerfully. It's not my words. It is His words that make the difference. It divides. It spiritually detaches us from things that are wrong. It judges, it evaluates the quality and the kind of something. It reveals, spiritually exposes, makes transparent or open. The Word of God does that to us. It shines the light of God into our life, gives clarity and definition to those dark areas. And it does that for us. It shines the light of God in the world around us. Now, there's one thing that you need to understand about what happens when you begin to shine the light of God into a very, very dark world. Not everybody likes the light. You ever like get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom and without thinking, your spouse, your husband, or your wife is asleep without thinking, you walk by and you just flip on the light? What do they do? Turn that off. Right? It hurts. Light reveals. Light defines. Light exposes, makes transparent. Sometimes light is painful. Go back and read John chapter 1. He was the light of the world. He came to a very dark world, John 1 says. A world that he created. And he came to shine the light of God, and that world did not want anything to do with him. Paul says to us, listen, you're in the middle of a battle. It's a desperate battle for your soul, the soul of those you love and know, soul of a world that's lost in darkness. You better get ready for it. You have the responsibility, you have the opportunity to be engaged in the single most important event and happening of eternity. God can use you to make an eternal difference in people's lives. But in order to be able to do that, you have to be ready. You have to be equipped. You have to be prepared. And so he says, put on the full armor of God, so that you might be able to stand when the day of evil comes. Said, make sure that you have the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And he says, and then there's a couple things you need to pick up and get ready to fight. You need to pick up your shield. You need to put on your helmet. You need to grab your sword. Because the desperate battle that you are in truly makes a difference for eternity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today, for the opportunity that we have to be engaged in spiritual warfare. Lord, I know that many of us would rather opt out. Some of us would prefer that we just get to the back of the line and not be engaged in that battle. Yet you don't give us that option. Every single one of us has a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter or a mother or a father or a friend or a neighbor, a co-worker that doesn't know you. And Lord, the battle that we are engaged in is not just for our own life, but for them and for those around us as well.